When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Michael in Valley Stream. Hi, Michael.
Good morning, Rick. And DiPietro, how you doing?
What's going on, buddy?
Do you see what just happened?
Sorry.
You said good morning, Rick. How you doing, DiPietro? I'm going to step aside, Rick. You talk to Michael. He doesn't want any part of me. Go ahead.
Rick, I know you're good with the stats.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Ani in Paramus. Ani?
It's Ami.
Great job, RJ.
It's like a first date, and you show up and you have a big zit all over your face.
Yeah. On 98.7 ESPN.
Well, that was an hour. I didn't feel like it was even all that controversial, and you hear the rejoin, you're like, wow, it had some moments there.
There was a lot that went on, yeah. You're right, though. I mean, that's Ami's first call to the show. Longtime listener, first time to the, you know, calling the show.
Right. He was all excited. RJ completely butchers the name.
There's a real chance Ami doesn't call again.
And that would be a shame. And that would be shame. And that's something RJ would have to live with. Now, RJ, when you screen the great Ami, did you not say, let me just make sure I have this right, A-N-I? And he's like, no. It's Ami, A-M-I.
Well, I repeated the name back to him. I said, Ani. So we were having the same problem going both ways. I thought he was saying Ani. He thought I was saying Ami. And therefore, miscommunication.
Wow.
Is there any guilt on your end for this?
I feel great remorse for what happened.
Oh, you do?
No, you don't.
Yeah, it's someone's name.
No, you're basking in the Yankees ambiance that you experienced yesterday at Yankee Stadium. That's what you're doing right now.
RJ had some big-time seats. Did you get, like, big shrimp? When you were there?
No big shrimp. Uh-huh. No big shrimp. But yes, some nice
lobster Thermidor.
Some nice seats, courtesy of the one Pete Doherty. And
that would be an oxymoron, wouldn't it? Be a big shrimp?
Yeah, it is an oxymoron.
Right.
Well, but they have jumbo shrimp.
Right.
It exists.
But I did not have big shrimp. But I had a great time. Nice win. And yeah, I'm sorry to Ani. I feel bad.
It's Ami.
Maybe it's Ani.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's Ami.
Do you think he wants it to be Ani, though?
No. I think you want it to be Ani.
I'm going to go Ani.
I've never heard you get flustered like this.
I think it's Ani.
It's not Ani.
I'm going to go Ani.
See, you just said I got to have respect for the man's name, and now you're killing it.
Ani.
Now there's no chance he's calling back.
No. So that's great. How do you feel about that? We try to welcome the listeners and make them feel comfortable in our labyrinth, and you just refuse to give this guy his appropriate name.
Is that what we do here?
Yeah. Yes, RJ. You're affecting our cue right now.
Oh, that's right.
Well, so like this.
You should be sent to an island where only you live.
Very.
That wasn't a listener.
Right. That was a
that
host.
That was another host.
Should have more respect for that person.
I have respect for the person.
That's it. We respect this show and our listeners. That's who we respect.
How about the people that want to call and get involved with us? How about we respect them? First and foremost.
Maybe he really enjoys being a part of the show. He's a character now.
No, he probably had to see. He had his one big moment. He could have told everyone, hey, check out the podcast. I finally called, and it's Ani.
Well, maybe now he can have them check out the podcast. He probably had an email typed up and ready to go to his mom. Mom, 6:40, listen to the podcast, DNR. I'm going to go on the show and add my 2 cents of wisdom. And now he can't do that.
Let's hear some other moments of us being nice to people on the show.
Max, I'm done.
Aaron Judge is literally twice as good as anyone.
You know what? Thanks for all you do. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Oh, and then there was this time with Shooter.
No one talks about this stuff. And it's
Shooter,
you can have pain. I've had some pain. I'm playing basketball.
Oh my God! Just say what you want to say.
And then there was Mike.
Just, you know what? Fall on the sword. Just admit, I suck. And I will never call sports radio again. Say that. Can you say that for me?
That's what.
That's
you
horrible,
suck,
dude.
Mike. Goodbye. You Big suck. Jeff. You suck.
We're very kind to people here.
You see what he's trying to do, though, and I respect it. He's trying to turn the tables.
That's right.
What do you mean trying to turn?
He's
the tables?
He's trying anything.
This is a Hail Mary. This is a pure desperation.
But you know what, though? It's being bobbled around right now. It might get caught. We don't know. We have to look at the tape.
No. It's not going to get caught. It's going to get smacked to the turf, and then the safety's going to be like, what a feeble attempt that was.
Nope. And this is with the scrub refs from a few years ago. I think this one's going to stand.
Nope.
This is Angel Hernandez. Angel Hernandez is officiating this one.
He had places to go yesterday.
In the first inning?
Yeah, first inning,
he's like torn up about it.
Crying.
Yeah, it was
it's rage inducing. How are you not mad, as mad about this as I am?
Because I've known it. The guy stinks.
He's got to be kicked out.
Last week I was calling for robot umpires.
He's got to be kicked out. He's the case study. He's the reason we should have robot umpires.
He's a horrendous umpire. He should not be allowed to call.
He's inept, though. It's not even bad. He's inept.
At a minimum, he shouldn't be behind the plate.
Ever.
He is so bad.
Guy steps off. Glaber has no idea what the hell is happening. And then the best part is it was a ball, and he still calls it a strike.
Because he's terrible.
He's so bad.
And I don't remember what it was. At some point, maybe it was last week. At some point in the last, like, 5 days, it might have been a Mets game. He was umpiring the Mets game, and they're like, boy, Angel Hernandez having a really good day behind the plate. I was like, ooh. Not yeah, something
you
all the
time. You should have remembered that one because that doesn't ever really happen.
No.
Ever.
No, he's brutal. Awful. He's brutal. It's like there's bad, there's decent, there's good, and then there's what Angel Hernandez does, which completely ruins the game.
He is the definition of what I used to say to referees to piss them off. I'm like, there's not one person that is paid to come to this game that wants to watch you.
But why would you say that?
Oh, just to be,
sometimes it needs to be said.
But right, you think you're going to get a call nasty. After you say something
no,
like that?
No.
I'm not looking for a call at that point. I'm so fed up. That was usually around the time of like, just tell me the word I need to say to get kicked out right around now. If I call you what, will you kick me out?
Bull Durham, the magic word.
I might have said that once, twice.
And did you get thrown out?
No, because at that point they want to make you suffer. Like, you're not going to get kicked out.
I bet you go up, you drop your pants and urinate on his skate. I bet you get.
You know how long it would take me? It would be like, what's Rick doing? It'd take like 3.5 minutes for that to happen. Take my pads off, then my pants. It'd be forever.
It'd take a long time.
I had a hard enough time trying to pee during intermissions.
I bet you like you get a big loogie. You go up there, you spit right on his lower leg.
Yeah, I don't think that would. That's going to cost me quite a bit of money. I think.
Right.
Yeah, that's like a Roberto Alomar situation. I'd like to avoid that.
Yeah. Well, didn't he spit right in his face?
Right in the face.
That's, oof.
Yeah, that's aggressive.
That's brutal. We'll get to the Yankees in a moment. And what a win, yes. What a weekend for the Yankees. Just terrific Saturday and Sunday. Jimmy and Dix Hills. Hi, Jimmy. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, Dave and Rothenberg.
Nice. Nice. I'm back.
Before I get to my point, Dave, while I was on hold, you did a La Quinta commercial, and then right afterwards, some rando guy did the same commercial, and he should be fired, Dave, because you did such a better job. I mean, that guy was terrible.
You know what's funny, Jimmy, and I'm not even kidding. I said to RJ when the other commercial came on, I was like, why did I read mine if he was just going to read his? That was
exactly.
A little bit odd.
Yeah, so as far as the Knicks go, I really think this is almost a gravy season, and I'm just talking about overall in the direction. As a Knicks fan, we're always saying we're going to get that next superstar, and they're never really coming. We thought they might, but they're not. But this, with these injuries, this is a gravy season. You know, I hope they make it, you know, first, second round. But going forward, and we keep saying this over and over, we really are headed in the right direction. We have a superstar. We have draft picks. Trade Randall in the summer. I don't know if you can. He's probably not worth that much because he's injured. But let's get the second superstar and let's head to where we really want to be. And that's why I'm excited, not for this year, but as a Knicks fan watching all the time, we really are headed in the right direction.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's a good call, but I will say this, and thanks for making the call. You're right. In a moment of clarity, April the 8th, coming off a huge win, great. Fast forward me to May 3rd, where the Knicks lose a huge playoff game, and let's see how people call and say, oh, you know what, no problems at all, we're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, right, but I just didn't, the part of that call I didn't understand was the, we're not going to get a superstar. The superstars don't want to come here. But at the end of the call, we're going to trade Randle and we're going to get the second superstar.
Yeah, he was a little all over the place with that. And also, you know, our teams aren't going to want him because
he's coming off the injury.
I mean, that's not going to have an issue.
Listen, I mean, they are a very desirable place for anyone that's looking for a team that's kind of that one piece away from having a real chance.
And wouldn't you have a really good coach? That if you were Devin Booker, that you would say, yeah, I want to go there?
Yeah, I would think any of these guys that are looking to win a championship, when you see, I mean, how hard this team plays, the pieces that they have, Jalen Brunson, the kind of team chemistry that they have. Yeah, it looks like a really fun place to play. And then you watch how the Garden responds to this team. So that's the thing I love about this is that, and I'm sure you've gone through this, there are times that you root for a team and the team is good. So you root for them because they're your team. But you don't really love the guys on the team. Like, this is a team that not only are they good, but you love the guys on the team.
And it feels like they love each other too.
They're busting each other's chops all the time.
Right.
They're having fun. They work hard.
As a matter of, take a listen to this. Here's Brunson last night on the broadcast on MSG. What makes this team so close?
We low-key hate each other, but we like each other. We always joke on each other. We always find something to make fun of the other person. And so somehow that turns into great team chemistry. That's our makeup right now.
I mean, how great is that?
Well, dude, I mean, it's not to pump our own tire. It's the show. It's our relationship, the four of us.
Right.
I say it to you when we talk about coaching stuff, right? Rex Ryan has said that you got to show them that you care. They have to know that you care first before you start to actually, like, they want to listen to what you're coaching them. So if guys on a team could be where you work, our team, the Knicks, if the guys inside that locker room, if the guys inside that office, the guys inside our show, if everyone knows that we all really like each other and care about each other, yeah, you can, like, you're not going to hurt feelings if you start busting chops.
Right. Speaking of busting chops, RJ, Raymond, I think I heard this. Did he say, I don't want to pump our own tires?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
I don't think that's the phrase, and I don't know how that's considered to be. You're like, not to pump our own tires.
Well, what would you prefer he say?
What? That's
toot our own horn?
Well, you're supposed to pump your own tires.
Totally different analogy, though.
No, you don't pump your own tires.
I thought it was okay.
Isn't that what you say? I don't want to pump my own tires here, but
I don't know that I've ever heard somebody say pump your own tires, but I don't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah, he's so yeah.
I've heard pump the brakes.
Heard pump the brakes or toot the horn.
So you're a tutor.
I would, if I'm trying to discuss something in a positive light, I would sooner say toot my own horn than pump my own tires.
I think it was okay.
I use that all
the time. Can I toot my own horn a little bit?
Boy, I don't sound good there. I must be unwell.
Can I take a quick second to toot your horn?
You're darn tootin'.
You know what? You keep away from my horn.
I'll go anywhere I want.
My horn is for me.
Nope.
And me alone.
Nope.
What do you mean,
That horn's going to be for everybody.
No.
Beach bash. Oh, yeah.
If I don't want to share my horn, you can't have a piece of my horn.
I'll take it when I want it.
You pump your own tires.
No. I'll toot your horn when I want to toot
No,
your
you
horn.
Pump your tires. You worry and about I'll your tires there,
pump
pal.
Pump my tires.
Your tires are going to blow up. You're going to put so much air. You're going to overinflate your tires.
You don't even pump your own tires. Sherry does.
Yeah, so?
I can't believe you haven't heard that before.
Pump my own tires?
Yeah, I always say pump the tires instead of, I'm not a big tutor of the horn.
No, but pump the brakes.
No, there's pump the brakes too. That means you can slow down.
Slow down. Brakes. So what is so pump the tires means you like build it up?
It's the same thing as toot your own horn.
Pump your own
like
tires.
When you're being braggadocious. Like don't be
braggadocious is a great word.
Great word. You don't need to pump your own tires. Relax.
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm not familiar with that phrase.
Oh, just maybe because you don't have any experience pumping air into regular tires.
So you think in order to understand the phraseology, you have to put it into practice in real life?
Yeah, maybe because you're like, hey, Sherry, tires are low. Could you pump them up?
That's nice, though. It's nice that I have someone in my life that will do that.
You know how we've said that Rick has picked up some, like, Canadian-type, you know, dialect in his travels?
Yes, bad. Yep.
Yes, pump your own tires is an idiom primarily used in Canada to mean praising, encouraging, or vigorously supporting someone.
Oh, it's a Canadian thing.
So it's a Canadian thing.
So it's like organization.
Yes, that's
basically,
right.
Basically.
So there
I don't
you go.
Say that. So, I don't. In fairness to me, though, I don't say organization a lot anymore.
No, I don't think you say it at all. I don't know that you say that word. Period. So I'm not sure I can analyze anything there. But I don't think you say it if you do say it.
So I didn't even realize that I was being influenced by the Canadians.
That's right.
That's what happened there.
That's exactly what's happening there.
Blame the Canadian roommates. Then.
You want to be Canadian?
Absolutely not.
You're no. desperate for approval no. for north of the border. Absolutely.
That's like the vein no of my existence.
Maybe that's a Canadian phrase.
Is that Canadian? That could be.
We can Google that.
Raymond, look up vein of my existence. You know it's going to show up nothing. It'll be like, no, idiot, it's Bane.
That's a very popular saying in Toronto.
I'll tell you what, could you imagine that? Over in Swaziland, vein of my existence is a tremendously popular phrase. Are you Googling that, Raymond?
Yeah, it corrects to Bane.
It won't even let you say Bane.
I thought for the longest time it was vain.
No, it's not. It's really not.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's spend a little bit of time on some baseball. Then we're going to go around the league for the NFL. We are 2.5 weeks away from the NFL draft, which is just wild. But good baseball weekend for both the locals. Yankees lose on Friday, get shut out, and then bounce back on Saturday and Sunday with wins. And the Mets win Friday, lose Saturday, win Sunday. So both teams go 2 out of 3. Let's start with the Yankees. Very workmanlike. They look like a much better team than Toronto right now, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, listen, I mean, Toronto, I mean, I think we all know how Yankees fans feel about Toronto.
Yeah, but Toronto's one of those teams that you're, I mean.
Right, but it's everyone feels like they're pretenders, right? Even like Vlad Guerrero doing the shish. Like, what do you mean shish? You're losing right now.
They were getting crushed.
Yeah, you're trying to shush the crowd. Stop it. Come on. But, I mean, it's a couple positive things. I mean, one of the biggest things was, I mean, Stanton finally coming around.
Big moment for him, yep.
Right. Has a big home run yesterday. What did he do on Saturday? I had it written down.
No.
Oh, 3-for-4. There it is. He was 3-for-4. Had a home run. Just barely gets out in right field in the first.
Oh, right.
Yeah, goes 3-for-4 in that game. I think the one, I guess, negative, if you want to nitpick at certain things, is just the lack of length you're getting from your starters.
Like that, yeah, you attack the bullpen, that's for sure.
Right. Like Clark Schmidt's got a 6-0 lead, and you would think, okay, 6-0 early lead, oh, let's attack the strike zone, give us some length here. He only goes 4 1/3. So now you got to tax your bullpen in that game, and then
and
that gets
and Heel couldn't get out of the fifth yesterday again.
Right. He goes 4 1/3 also.
Right.
So, I mean, at a certain point, you lose Loaisiga, who's one of your best, you know, one of your best high leverage guys. I mean, that's a huge loss. He's going to have surgery now, so he's gone for the season. And you have starters that just aren't giving you the kind of length that you need. That was the beauty of Gerrit Cole, right? Is that
you're going to get 6+ innings every time he takes the mound.
Right, which every fifth day is nice. Give your bullpen a little bit of rest.
Right. You don't have that guy now.
No. So Stanton coming around is a big time thing because I think for a lot of people, the way he struggled, the way he was, you know, how bad he was last season and the start he got off to are like, oh. And we kept telling people, listen, they have options now. Right? We'll get rid of him. Well, they're not going to eat that kind of money, but as far as like the need to play him every day, they don't have to play him every day. They have options now. Right? I mean, you got Grisham, you can put him in center, you can DH Soto, you can DH Judge, like whatever you, there's different, you know, different ways now to approach this thing. You're not relying on, you know, if Aaron Judge is struggling, Stanton has to be that next guy because you got Juan Soto. And now with the emergence of, I mean, Anthony Volpe in year two, man.
No, he's a completely different player.
I mean, what a player. I mean, they
he's
eighth
a completely
inning.
Different player.
Well, look at the eighth inning yesterday, man. I mean, so the biggest question about him last year was his defense, right? And he wins a gold glove. Average stunk, but still, you saw his power. You saw his ability to steal bases. Eighth inning yesterday, he makes an unbelievable defensive play, coming to the second base side, and then he follows that up in the bottom of the eighth where he steals second and then third. Like, that. The kid is, I mean, he is a special player.
He's young. He's athletic. He's talented. New York is not too big for him. Like, he has everything that you could possibly want.
Yeah, which I think is part of the reason why they felt so comfortable as he struggled last year, keeping him up.
Letting him fight through it. I agree with that. Now, here and again, I'm not trying to be negative. I want to discuss this. Stanton, great weekend. Huge home run yesterday. Good performance on Saturday, right? But do you think that the Yankees fan changes their view of him? Or they think, yeah, you know what? This is the abnormal thing. Like, that's the norm from him is not very good. You're seeing the abnormal for a couple of days. Like, I don't, and maybe I'm wrong. I don't think Yankee fans change their opinion on him right now.
No, I don't think so either. I think you just recognize what kind of player he is now. And then you take advantage of when he gets hot because you know inevitably he's going to get cold and he's going to look awful. Right? He's going to swing at pitches that you can't believe he's swinging at. He's going to strike out a lot. And you're going to have to live with that because when he does get hot, he can do real damage.
He can do. And he does get into those streaks where he kind of just, you watch him, you're like, wow, this is what he used to be when he was 59 home runs and MVP of a league and like all that stuff. And then there's a lot of times where he's just not good. But when he's good, you got to ride the good.
Right. And I think they're 8-2. So there's not, I mean, there really is not a lot of negative stuff to point to. But I think one of the other positives with the Stanton stuff is, I mean, the grand slam he hits yesterday is a fastball inside that he's able to pull.
They crushed that ball.
Which is something that he struggled with. He struggles with high velocity. So
I think this is going to be an issue that comes up down the road, so I'll throw it out to you. Because LeMahieu's apparently going to be back at some point. Can you just hand him his job back?
Wow. Hand him his job back?
I mean, Cabrera looks terrific. You're just going to, all right, it's yours, take it?
Well, I think they're giving him an opportunity to earn his job back.
Meaning when he's healthy, it's his to lose?
Well, he was going to be your starting third baseman and your leadoff hitter.
I get it.
Until he got hurt.
But things change, right?
Things do change. And it actually ended up being a blessing in disguise the way that Cabrera, I mean, that first series against Houston, how good Cabrera was. But I'm sure, I mean, what you think and what I think is probably different than what Aaron Boone thinks and the amount of respect he has for DJ LeMahieu.
And I have tremendous respect for him, too. But, I mean, you have to start to have the conversation. Is Cabrera a better option for the Yankees at third base every day than DJ LeMahieu?
I think that's fair. I just don't. I think that with his contract and the level of respect that the Yankees have for him, that they'll give him the opportunity to win his job back. Is how I would imagine this thing goes.
Well, like you mentioned with Stanton, the nice thing is you have options, right? And if LeMahieu goes out there and struggles for a while and scuffles, then you know you do have somebody that is playing at a very high level right now.
Correct. And then I think you also, I mean, as far as what the identity of this team is this season, you know, with the way that they work at bats, I mean, LeMahieu fits right into that.
It's just, I mean, you got a younger, more athletic Cabrera. And you have DJ, who I think a lot of people question, even when he comes back, what version, you know, foot again. You know, like not having... It's tough to jump right into a season. And now he's dealing with an injury, coming back from an injury. He's an older player. I mean, how long does it take him to get going once he's back?
And you get the Marlins tonight, which is nice.
Which is nice. And we get the Braves. Great.
They're dreadful. But at least the Mets went 2-1 this weekend.
I could have went 3-0.
I probably should have gone 3-0.
I dreaded eighth inning.
Oh, my God. Why'd you leave him in to pitch a second inning for?
Yeah, because we had no bullpen.
I get it, but come on, man. You could see the finish line.
Bullpen was down five guys, he said.
You had him throw 50 pitches.
Well, okay. By the way, though, okay? I mean, the fact that we don't know when it's first and third, that we're not throwing down to second.
That was Little League Baseball.
Yeah, but
it was like, Little League Baseball.
Even his explanation afterwards. It's like, come on, man. Like, there's either, hey, we're not, like, eat it. We're not throwing it down. We're going to pump it, throw to third. We're going to have, you know, someone cut across and we'll throw it. You know what I mean? But it's not going all the way down to second base. It's not.
I'm not even exaggerating with you. I've watched so much youth baseball. It's first and third, send the guy, they won't throw through, and if they do, the guy from third goes home. It's exactly what it was. And listen, Manaea pitched really well. So let's give Severino some love too.
Yep.
He was really good on Saturday. Really, really good. I mean, the Mets starting pitching has been good. It's so funny. We sit here, we analyze, and this should happen, and that should happen. And we sat here and said, Mets offensively, oh, they're going to be good. Mets starting pitching, there's where the concern lies. And so far, and I know it's early, it's been the exact opposite.
Well, I think what we said, though, is if the Mets are going to have any chance to make it as a wild card, their offense is going to have to be really good. Because I don't know how long, I mean, as good as the pitching is now, I don't know how long it's going to last. I mean, because you're right. I mean, right now, their team ERA, they're fifth in baseball, which is really good. Starting pitchers third in baseball, and their bullpen ERA is 11th.
Right. So they've gotten really good pitching, and the thing that's haunted them is offense. I mean, Lindor finally had a couple hits yesterday, but he's been brutal.
You notice anything about those two hits?
Righty.
Yep.
Yep.
Righty. Yeah, he's 0-24 going into that game yesterday.
Can I tell you something? I shouldn't.
Oh, tell me.
All right. Group text. It was the pickleball guys because we were talking about Lindor and lack of offense and how bad he's been. And I said, you know, at some point you need your players, your star players to step up. So he hits a double. He hits the home run. Pickleball chain. Well, how about Lindor? We talked about him so negatively. Now he comes out having a great day today. This is embarrassing for me. I said, yeah. You notice what side of the plate he did it from, guys? Righty. I kind of took it for my own. And they're like, I said, he's a much better hitter from the right side.
Like, you're right.
Yeah. They're like, Dave, you're good.
Oh, all right. Yeah. That's fine. I facilitated your great comment. That's fine.
I don't know that it's fine.
No, it's fine. I'm telling you, it's fine.
I don't feel great about it.
Well, you should feel good about it because now you're the pickleball hero.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good!
Bagged! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo.
Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I didn't realize what a problem this eclipse was going to be today.
Why is that such a problem?
Well, we have baseball practice. I got some kids that aren't going to be able to show up on time because of the eclipse.
What do you mean they can't show up? What time is practice?
I don't know how it's going to affect the dismissal time because apparently, I guess the eclipse is going to happen just as the kids are being dismissed. I don't know.
John Winthrop, our boss, told us last week that there's some schools on Long Island that are closed today because of the eclipse.
Which is because what? They're afraid the kids in school will stare at the eclipse.
Well, at a minimum, why wouldn't you leave like an hour early?
Yeah, I think my kids actually have special glasses.
They give them the glasses.
The yeah. But they're all concerned now because it's like as they're getting let out of school, they're going to miss it. I was like, relax.
The sun will be up there. I would think that as you're getting let out of school, you can put your glasses on and look up, no?
Right. That's what we explained to them.
What time is practice tonight or this afternoon?
We got a 4 o'clock practice.
All right. So how does that affect anything?
I don't know. I didn't ask questions. I'm just letting you know that I didn't realize it was going to be such a problem.
So you got emails from parents saying like Stevie won't be at practice because he'll be focused on the eclipse.
I don't know if it's focused on the eclipse or some kind of the timing is going to be screwed up with the school and everything. I don't know. I'm just telling you what I know.
I'm confused by that. Are you going to be involved with the eclipse?
No.
Nothing?
No.
I mean, you're not going to see – you might never see another eclipse. Well, the next one's in like 40 years.
Wow, come on. Don't be morbid.
Well, no, I'm not being morbid. I mean, I hope you do. I hope that you and I are talking about it on the air. You have to be realistic. There's a chance that you don't see another eclipse.
I don't have the special sunglasses.
So you can't put on normal – they have to be a special sunglass?
Yeah, what are you, new here?
Well, I haven't been really studied up on the eclipse.
Yeah, you can go blind if you look at it with normal sunglasses.
Normal sunglasses.
Very bad.
Very bad.
Yeah.
So can I get a special sunglass at this point, or have I missed my window?
I think they've all been hawked up.
All of them?
You could check out like the StubHub of glasses and see what's available.
Can I go to my local optician and see if they have a pair of the special sunglasses?
Oh, probably going to jack the price up on you.
really? There's price gouging when it comes to the sunglass now?
Would that surprise you?
Nothing would surprise me.
This is a big deal right now.
So I can't even partake?
We're already talking about shrinkflation.
I can't partake in the eclipse.
You need the glasses.
Unless Sherry secretly got you glasses.
I don't think she did. RJ, I bet you RJ has the glasses. You do, don't you?
I do have some glasses.
Yeah, of course you do.
I do have some. I got a guy.
Does Ange have glasses?
We have two pairs, so yes, she does.
Of course. Of course you do.
I'll tell you what. Tell you what, though.
No, I don't want your glasses.
No.
You go to B&H and pick some up, it looks like.
You're going to be like, I'll give you a pair of glasses for $500.
I don't want it. I was not going to say that. Uh-huh. I was going to say I got two for
$800. I don't want your stinking glasses.
That's a nice deal.
I don't want any part of it.
I'll make you another deal.
All right.
You come by later today, we could share the glasses.
You know what? Big Mars, they sell the glasses at 7-Elevens near the registers.
You might want to check that out, then.
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, I don't know how much you trust those. You trust the 7-Eleven glasses?
$199.
Well, right. Well, why?
You feel good about staring into the eclipse with those things on?
Well, couldn't you... here's an awful thing, but legitimately true. Couldn't you say you have special eclipse glasses? They're useless. People buy them. They don't work. You can't be held accountable for that.
Well, I mean, if the sunglass company is saying these are the... You know, eclipse-proof glasses. I mean, they should work, shouldn't they?
Right, right. But I'm just saying, I sell Dave's glasses, guaranteed to avoid any bad radiation rays from the eclipse. They could just be regular glasses. You'd have no idea.
Yeah, until I'm blind, and now I have to go, and now I take the glasses that you sold me to...
But that's years down the line.
No, it's not years down the line.
If it's my business, that's years down the line. I'm not worried about that.
So you'd be willing
to ruin people's eyesight? No, I would not be willing to. I'm just saying, like, don't you think that there could be a company out there that would be willing to do that?
I don't know. I would say probably there's a chance that would happen, which is why I wouldn't buy the glasses that are just sitting at the register.
Mm-hmm. But you're not partaking at all.
Well, I don't have the glasses.
Can I glimpse up from my window in my home?
I don't think you can stare. Like, don't stare into it.
No, not stare. Like, glimpse. Like here. So, eclipse is happening. I'm at the window. I look up. 3, 2, 1. Look down. Can I do that?
I don't know. I mean, sure, you could Google it to find out. I mean, you've already, like this, like you stare into it. You do something for too long, you go blind. You've already tried that with one thing. You're not blind yet. So roll the dice.
Right. Vision is not what it used to be, though.
No, and you refuse to wear glasses.
No, I have my glasses. Can I use those glasses to look up at the eclipse?
No.
No.
That'll only make so you can see the eclipse better.
Right.
We want to protect your eyes.
If I want to read the eclipse, I would put on those glasses.
Right. Right. No, let's protect those things. Okay.
It's a big deal, though.
I need them for May 5th.
People are going nuts about this. And I guess Rochester is one of like the hot zones. Buffalo is one of the hot zones you can get to. Like, I guess this is, RJ, have you seen this? That like there are certain spots up in New York where if you go to, you can get a full great view of the eclipse?
Yeah. Niagara Falls, Buffalo, Rochester.
Syracuse was one of those places, but I guess they're going to have a lot of cloud cover, so they're not going to have the same view that they would have had otherwise.
Yeah, they're a healthy scratch. It turns out we thought they'd be in the lineup. They're out. But yeah.
You know that every single thing RJ
has a sports analogy? Yeah.
Is a sports.
That's how my brain works.
This is why his father-in-law thinks he's the smartest sports guy in the world.
That's right.
Have you discussed that with him?
We discuss all kinds of things.
Have you discussed the fact that how much he hurt me in saying that RJ is the biggest sports guy going?
I don't think it bothers him.
But he knows?
I think he's aware.
RJ, when you and Andrew are about to like get things happening, do you use sports analogies then too?
I got sports analogies for everything. Yeah.
I got breaking news.
Oh boy.
Big breaking news.
Jazz hands.
Anita Paid.
Well, I mean, I would hope so.
Anita finally dug into her pockets and paid the entry for the pool.
It's a big day.
About time.
It's a big day.
So, Islanders are a playoff team. Rangers have a real chance at the President's Trophy. Yankees win a series. Mets win a series. Knicks win a huge one. And Anita paid for the pool.
And Sherry looks like she has a real chance to win this pool, too.
If Connecticut wins, she wins.
God, look at her.
Amazing. And the thing is, she showed us her picks, and we laughed at her. We're like, you have NC State to the Elite Eight to play Duke, and then you have Duke going to the Final Four. We're like, what are you doing? She's like, this is what I like.
She knows what she likes.
She knows what she likes.
I'm sure when she was showing you off, people were laughing too, and she's like, you know what?
You shut
your mouth.
See, here's the thing. I think you're wrong.
Well, Grandma Rothenberg was like, yeah, why would you marry this guy? He's broke.
Yes, but that wasn't a show-off kind of a thing.
So you think Nana Bubbles was like, oh, this is going to be great?
I think Nana Bubbles liked me, yes.
Yeah, but we're talking about a who's who list of people that were trying to pick up Sherry Rothenberg.
She didn't even won't even admit that George Clooney was doing everything in his power to try to take her on a date.
Right. I mean, we got the likes of Clooney, and she ends up with you.
Right.
So how dare you? No one should laugh at Sherry. She knows what she wants, and she's usually right.
Yeah, Clooney's sitting there. They're at Chelsea Piers, and she's getting ready to take the lacrosse field. And he goes, can you explain this lacrosse to me? I don't really understand it. He might as well have asked her out right on the spot.
Right. I mean, she starts showing him her stick work. It's night.
And I got to be honest with you, I wish she had gone on a date with him.
No.
How good would it be for me if I could say, yeah, my wife used to date George Clooney?
Yeah, but
a win.
No, not a win because
it's a tremendous win for me.
No, wouldn't a little piece of you think about she closes her eyes and thinks, you know,
no.
I wish I was married to George Clooney.
No. In fact, I'll say this. If she went all the way with George Clooney, I would probably have a t-shirt made up of that.
Oh, God.
My wife once slept with George Clooney. That's a huge win for me.
Yeah, right. But she could. I mean, if she's with George Clooney, she's got Nespresso. She's got the Casamigos. I mean, there's so much stuff happening.
Yeah, but I think
her.
Clooney has real commitment issues, so they probably wouldn't have ended in marriage. But then I would have that to use to my benefit.
Like Cuomo. Yeah, but I mean, there would have to be a little piece of you that thinks, like, is she thinking about George Clooney right now?
No.
You really have.
I have zero concern about that.
It's unbelievable.
I really, in retrospect, I wish he had spent like one night of passion with Clooney.
RJ, please tell me you're on my side with this one.
He's only worried about what it does for his status.
That's it.
It's like a parlor trick.
You want to give us a sports analogy, RJ? It's like a punt on 3rd and 11.
I don't know. This is like nothing. This is like punting on third down. I don't even understand what you're running right now.
What do you mean when I'm running? Do you know what it does for me if my wife has had relations with Clooney?
I have a feeling that you've thought about it.
I probably put, not really, but in this moment I am. I mean, I probably put it on a resume. I probably lead every job interview. So why do you think you're capable of hosting Morning Drive? My wife slept with George Clooney.
But it's not like you were there.
Could you imagine if I was there?
Like what? Like just in the corner being a
like I would cheer on. Like, come on, George.
That's
really
worse.
Give it to her here.
Oh, my God.
Therapy can't help you. Oh, I don't think anyone can help you.
Oh, my
God. Ray in the back is the best.
Dave wearing his knockoff $1.99 solar eclipse glasses.
Yes. eating a sandwich.
George, let me get in there. George, let me get in here.
George, you got it.
Take a break. I loved you in Ocean's 11, George.
Yes.
What's wrong with you?
See, you know what the great thing is? Of all the people that walk the earth, who's the one person to see it? Like, you know what? I'm on Team Dave right now.
John Winthrop.
Of course he is.
Of course. It's unbelievable, you two.
Of course.
You could sit in the corner and have a snack.
Palmetto sandwich.
Yeah, maybe I'm there with my glasses, palmetto sandwich, and just cheering on George.
George, I'm going to swing into the kitchen for some celery sticks and some applesauce. You interested?
No, you're busy? Okay, I'll catch you later.
How about you, Cher? You know what this is going to do for me? Take one for the team.
Well, not now.
Oh, obviously not now.
But back in the day, I think it would be terrific.
You're unbelievable.
I don't see why.
It's not terrific. Do you bring up that? Would that be something you brought up in conversation?
What do you mean?
Like, hey, guys, did you know?
Yeah, you don't get.
Yeah, it would be.
You don't get into like a poker match of trying to one up each other with the best hand of who your significant other has been with before you. I mean, maybe you do.
I never have. I never thought of it, but I would.
Who's your wife been with before you?
Because no one beats me there.
Greg from Allstate? Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, no. Because no one. It's like, you know what? My wife once slept with Robert Downey Jr. Oh, yeah? Well, that's nice.
Yeah, but
you know who I got here? I'll see you, Robert Downey Jr., and I'll raise you a George Clooney.
Yeah, but normal people wouldn't bring that up at dinner.
Well, I'm not normal.
If it was like you and another couple, and the guy was like, hey, yeah, Debbie got a nice promotion. And you're like, oh, promotion, huh?
promotion. Yeah. Sherry slept with George Clooney.
You know what? You know
twice.
You know what this tells me? We joked about it before.
What?
Maybe you are one of the pineapple people.
Oh.
Maybe that's where this would come up.
Got to tell you, the evidence is piling up.
You heard when he said, can you imagine if I was there?
As a spectator.
No, like you have like an unwrapped sandwich. You're in there. You're sitting there watching and you can partake in like a grilled chicken something and you watch.
So you don't.
There's an entire genre of that, David, in those folders you like to keep.
So let me get this straight. In this situation, you're not going to splurge. You're still going to keep the diet?
Well, obviously. Trying to better myself. By the way, I didn't tell you this. Guess how much weight I was down from last Sunday to this?
Full week?
Full week.
I'm going to say 4.7 pounds.
No, not that much. 3.2 pounds.
Well, I wasn't that far off.
A pound and a half.
Well, who knows? I mean, you're eating the snap peas and turkey roll-ups.
A leaf for dinner.
3.2 pounds.
As he watches
though, right?
As he watches his wife with George Clooney.
Well, no, I wouldn't watch my wife with George Clooney. Now that would bother me. But back in then, had I met her on our blind date, and one of the first things she told me is, you know what, I once had relations with George Clooney, I would be thrilled about that.
I have so many questions that I just don't feel like are appropriate to ask.
Is this like a 2 degrees of separation type of thing, or like?
No, he thinks it would be good for him.
I think it'd be great for me.
It's like, you know, when you lose, like if you lose in the semifinals, you're like, I hope that team we just lost to
wins the championship. Yes, exactly that.
That's what
there. RJ, I'm surprised you didn't go with that analogy.
Listen, if you don't like the sports analogies, I can ease up.
No. It's amazing that every single analogy you have is a sports analogy.
That's how my mind works.
RJ, with the engine, you're like, oh, little RJ's at second. He's about to round second.
it's like the Meatloaf song. That goes through RJ's head. And around third he comes.
It looks like he's going to score.
Stop right there. All right, let's get to a call or two, and then we'll go around the league. Let's go to Joe in West Palm. Good morning, Joe. You're on 98.7.
Hey, morning, boys. Hope you had a good weekend.
Great weekend.
I just had a quick question. Now, if the Islanders did face the Rangers in the playoffs, what would the bet be? And I hope it's not just like, you know, free breakfasts, you know. I hope, you know, something really substantial, you know. And I'm not talking about a billboard or anything, but what would the bet be? And I'll leave you on that. Thanks, guys.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be totally honest with you. We haven't even thought about it because we're not there.
No, I mean, we're focused. I'm focused on the
The Islanders have to get in.
Season games.
Yeah, right. And I think they will get in, but hardly, like, a bad stretch and they're out.
Right. Listen, I'm focused on beating you in these next couple of regular season games. I mean, you guys are already set. It's just a question as to whether or not, I mean, you're going to win the President's Trophy and who you're playing.
So to win the division, Rangers are five points up on Carolina with four games to play. And they have the tiebreaker. They're going to win the division, right?
Yes.
And then 3 points up on Boston.
The question is, I mean, are you going to win the President's Trophy, which it feels like you got a pretty good chance to.
A really good chance. I wonder how. I don't think they'll mail it in, but I wonder how desperately they want to beat the Islanders in these games. Like, do you think it matters to these players to keep the Islanders from the playoffs?
I mean, it would be some, you know, a nice little added bonus to finish up your season. I don't think it's going to be. I mean, I would be hard pressed to think that that's going to get you to, you know, the level of a team that's, you know, scratching and clawing just to make the playoffs. But yeah, I mean, if you beating the Islanders means they don't make the playoffs, that'd be a little nice little way to finish your season.
You got to figure these games mean more for the Islanders than the Rangers,
of
right?
Of course,
obviously.
Of course they do.
Yeah, let's go to Noah in Bergen. Hi, Noah, you're on 98.7.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
I called because I'm driving up to see the Eclipse today, and I also wanted to make a Mets point.
Where are you driving to?
So, like you guys were talking about before, the clouds are not behaving themselves. And so I was going to drive up towards, like, the Finger Lakes area, but that's looking less and less promising. So now I'm thinking I'm going to head towards, like, Burlington, Vermont.
So you're going to drive to Burlington, Vermont to take in the eclipse?
That is what I'm planning to do, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So you must Noah, you must know then. You got the special glasses and everything else then, right?
I was going to say about the glasses. So I do have the $1.99 7-Eleven glasses, and I went to test them out yesterday. So I put them on, and I couldn't see a thing. I'm like, this is an RJ-style scam, and I'm going to see nothing. But then I went outside and looked directly at the sun, and it was amazing. It was, like, completely black except this, like, smoky circle of sunlight, and I was like, oh, now I get it.
Did you get them from 7-Eleven?
No, actually, you know, I was really angry. I ordered them from B&H on Thursday, guaranteed one-day delivery, and they're like, oh, arriving on Monday. I'm like, that's not helpful at all. So I had a friend give me one of their extras.
Oh, no.
So yeah, but it's okay.
Burlington, Vermont. So, I mean, you're really into this, huh? You're talking about spending, like, a full day of your life ensconced in the eclipse.
Well, it was my wife's birthday present to me, giving me the day off. So that's what I'm going to do. And I've got plenty of your show to listen to. I still have to catch up from Friday and obviously from today. So you guys will keep me company on the way up there.
Great. Well, have a safe trip and check in tomorrow. We'd love to hear what you have to say about the eclipse.
Absolutely. I did have a Mets point if you guys have a second.
We'd love
to. I wanted to roast you guys a little bit. Do you remember Fran from Massapequa's call during the roast on Friday?
Refresh me.
It was a terrible call. It was about complaining about Steve Cohen and Francisco Lindor. And you guys were like, yeah, Francisco Lindor really hasn't been great. But I know you guys aren't really into the new agey statistics. You're more old school. But Francisco Lindor in the National League last year was sixth in WAR in wins above replacement.
Yeah, right. We're not we're talking about the start of the season. Right. The start of the season is,
I hear you,
is imperative because they can't afford to dig themselves such a deep hole that they're
not
good
enough. And they need him to produce. You're
absolutely right. And it doesn't feel like he's doing that. Even though he's putting up these pretty good WAR numbers, it doesn't feel like he's producing the way he should. But I don't want to make it seem like he's like a total dud and it was a terrible deal, because he's really he's overall playing very well.
No, he's not a total dud. Is he worth $341 million?
No.
He's not. And what we're talking about specifically is his start to this season.
I don't think he's a dud at all. I think that I look at him as someone who should be, if not the best, the second best player on the team, and he's not playing like that, and you're on the verge of losing your entire season the first week of it.
Right. Well, he's being paid to be the best player on the team. And his, I mean, if you look at his numbers by the end of last season, they were really good.
They were, but I don't want to be 12-27 and then get to August and have him go on a streak where you're like, wow, awesome. I would prefer it now. Give me something that gives you hope moving towards the midway point of the season.
Yeah, I think it's just recognizing that this team is not good enough to start a season as poorly as they were going to as they were starting it, and something needed to change.
And were they 3-6 now?
Yeah, and he would have to be a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, I mean, the double in the home run get him going.
All right, you ready to go around the league?
I am.
All right, Raymond, fire it up.
It's time to go around the league.
All right, well, we start out with this little ditty. You remember Bill Barnwell, right? You know him.
Oh, yeah.
You remember his take on the Jets going into this past season?
My arch nemesis, yep.
You know what he said? They'd be bad. Everyone would get hurt. Well, he was right about that. Well, this season, no, Bill Barnwell.
Timeout.
What?
He did not say. He said defense. He specifically pointed to the defense, that they had stayed healthy the previous season and that they would be hurt last season, which didn't happen. It was the offense. It was Aaron Rodgers.
All right. Well, you're nitpicking. Can I continue along with the story?
Yeah.
He's on the opposite side of things right now.
I believe they are a team that is right now the best team in the AFC East because of what has happened to the Dolphins, where teams spent more money on Dolphins players than any other team in football this free agency, in terms of the Bills having to make significant cutbacks because of their cap situation, and because the Jets have been able to add pieces to their roster. This is not the Aaron Rodgers best friends all-star roster that we saw last year. They're a much better roster on paper.
How about that?
Now, what does that do for me?
Well, you know what? You were so angry last year, and it turns out he was right. Maybe he's a man.
No, he wasn't
just
right.
He was right.
He had.
He said the Jets would be brutal, and the Jets were brutal.
He had them finishing last.
All right. Well, but he was right. They were a bad football team.
Well, that's because they had no quarterback. They didn't.
Right, well, whatever. But this year, they look like the best team in the division right now.
No. Not only did he say they were going to finish last, he said they were going to finish last, and Aaron Rodgers would play. They didn't finish last, and Aaron Rodgers didn't play, and they had the worst quarterback situation in the whole NFL, and still didn't finish last. His take last year stunk. I'm not letting him up off the mat after a bad take.
You're missing the point. The point is, this year, this genius of a man thinks that this team is maybe the best team in the division.
I don't care what he thinks. How about that?
I don't need Bill now Barnwell it's uncomfortable
to tell me how to feel. I don't care what Bill Barnwell thinks.
RJ?
Yes, Dave.
Where do I go from here?
I think there's one of two ways we could go.
Yeah.
One, we just move on to the next story.
No. We spent all week last week talking about how you shouldn't get away with hitting poo-poo takes. His take last year stunk. Well, and the reason why he did it was so people would talk about it. I'm not letting him up from that.
I don't care what
his Jets take is this year.
He said last year the Jets were going to stink, and the Jets stunk.
No, he said the Jets would finish last in their division.
Okay, well, he was wrong about that.
On purpose, he said that.
What do you mean on purpose?
He said they would finish last on purpose.
But his main point of emphasis with the Jets was that they weren't going to be so lucky with the injuries.
And on defense, he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so it wasn't defense.
I don't think he was all that far off.
No. Well, option two is we follow up on what we did last year. At some point, we get him on and we yell at him again.
Why would we yell at him again?
Right, well, because Rick's unhappy with him.
So we're going to rehash his take from last year, which happened to be right?
Well, I think Rick disagrees that it was right.
It was not right. It was not
he said they're going to be bad. They were bad.
No, he said they would finish last for a reason.
Okay, so
people would talk about it. Because when everyone was picking look what the Jets did. They're going to win a Super Bowl. No, they're not going to win a Super Bowl. They finished last in the AFC East. They didn't finish last. The Patriots did, and we had no quarterback.
Okay, who was closer to being right?
Were they closer to last or first?
Yeah, the people who picked them to go to the Super Bowl,
you guys are going to defend Bill Barnwell, who did it so people would talk about his stupid list.
I'm not defending. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
It's a great American. Well, I don't understand why you're going to come after Bill Barnwell.
Because I don't like his opinion.
I don't like what you're doing right now.
That much is clear.
Okay,
Can we all get along with this? It's 8 o'clock.
It depends on what you say next.
It's 8 o'clock, and I have something to say. You're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN, WEPN FM. Where? Where?
New York.
How's that? You like that?
It's better.
Put you in a little better mood?
Yeah, I just don't. You're protecting Bill Barnwell for a take that he made strictly for people to talk about.
All right, I got more news for you. Malik Nabers was a guest on CBS Sports, was asked about the possibility of going to the Giants at number 6 overall, despite many questions at quarterback.
That's a decision that, you know, is going to have to be placed, you know, when I hear my name called, you know, especially since I don't know where I'm going. So going to New York, you know, it wouldn't be a bad, you know, bad idea. Quarterback situation, I know, you know, they're going to figure it out, especially, you know, if they got a caliber receiver coming like me, you know, they're going to want to give me the ball. So I'm sure they're going to want to have a quarterback that can do that.
So firstly, he has got a lot of confidence in himself, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, most athletes do. Depends on whether they want to tell you about it or not.
I was reading something over the weekend. I don't know if you saw it.
Red flags?
Yeah, there's some red flags with this guy.
Yeah, some off-the-field stuff.
Are the Giants planting stories again?
I don't know. I don't know the Giants would need to plant stories, though, if they want to take Malik Nabers.
I mean, I don't think
I think it depends on. I mean, there are a lot of people that think Malik Nabers is. They have him ranked higher than Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right. I think you could argue they didn't need to plant stories about Kayvon Thibodeau, but here we are.
You know, we haven't checked in a few weeks with you, Dave.
Yeah, I'm Dave.
What do you? We established that last week. We had
right.
some issues.
That's
what
right.
do you actually want them to do as of this moment?
A quarterback.
Still.
Oh yes.
But Dave, I love you, and you call often, and you're a good
it's
caller.
Tom.
But
it's not Dave. It's Tom.
That's what I meant. Yeah. I'm Dave.
That's right. That's so right. So my follow up would be, who is your quarterback? I mean, if you're not going to get Caleb Williams, or you know, but see with realistically, who do you want?
Drake May.
Okay.
May 1, McCarthy 2.
I saw another report this weekend that said that exact same thing.
That what?
That if it goes Caleb 1, Jaden Daniels 2, then that's when the Giants would try to
swoop up and take Drake May 3?
Convince the Patriots to make the move.
Speaking of the Giants and Isaiah Simmons agreed to a one-year deal to bring him back. Played in 17 games last year. Starting 4, had 46 tackles, a sack, and an interception return for a touchdown. I like him. He's not a huge difference maker, but he's athletic, and you can kind of use him in a lot of different schemes. I like that he returns to the
right.
Giants.
I do, too. He was good for you guys last year.
Yeah. He's not a great player, but he's a nice piece, and he's certainly athletic.
He's not what everyone expected him to be when he was drafted.
Well, No. No, I mean, he was a top 10 pick in the draft.
Yeah, they talked about, I mean, just the level of the versatility you would have on defense.
Yeah, no, he's not that guy. The Panthers and defensive tackle Derek Brown agree on a 4-year, $96 million extension, which includes $63 million completely guaranteed. The $24 million per year average is the fourth highest in the entire National Football League for a defensive tackle. And it's worth it. He's one of the few good players on the Carolina team.
Yeah, I think people are recognizing, too, that you can have, I mean, you have someone on the inside that can put that amount of pressure on the quarterback. It's harder to help on the inside than it is on the outside.
Yeah, and it feels like that's kind of a new age thing, right, where the interior defensive linemen get more love?
Right. Well, I mean, you're also talking about when you're scheming up to try to defend the outside pass rush, there's things you can do, right? You can help with a running back. You can help with the tight end. It's tough to help on the inside if you get someone that's really good in that spot.
Safety Kyle Duggar. And the Patriots agree on a 4-year, $58 million deal. That can be worth up to $66 million and includes $32 million guaranteed.
Nice little deal. Their defense was still good. They lost two of the
very
best
good.
Defensive players.
Very, very good. It was offensively. They were so bad last year offensively.
Yeah, well, their quarterback situation was a mess. They didn't have a ton of – I still don't – did you hear Robert Kraft the other day?
What did he say?
He was on – RJ, what was the podcast he was on with Davante Adams?
I actually didn't see this.
He was on a podcast with Davante Adams, and they mentioned Davante Adams mentioned how much he learned from Jacoby Myers. Is it Jacoby Myers, wide receiver?
Mm-hmm.
And Kraft goes, yeah, we should never got rid of him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He admitted the faux pas there, huh?
Yeah.
Looks like this was the shop.
It was the shop. Yeah. Should never got rid of him.
What's the shop?
That's LeBron's.
Yeah, that's the.
Oh, it's LeBron's podcast.
Oh, Michael Rubin was on this. Wonder if they asked him about his
About the jerseys?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Those jerseys are a disgrace.
Oh, they're an atrocity.
No, they're great for everyone. What are you talking about?
They're getting worse, too.
What are you talking about?
Like, by the day, they're getting worse.
I mean, the letters in the back, it's awful.
And if you're a sweaty guy, forget it.
NHL must be so excited.
They're pumped. Just what you want.
And this is kind of breaking news. John Calipari is headed to Arkansas. And you say, why are you doing this around the league? Guess who played a big part in him winding up there?
Shocking. Shocking.
Got to be Raymond's owner, doesn't it?
Yeah. Jerry Jones, you say, explain. Arkansas is his alma mater. Jerry's status as a big-time booster seemingly played a big role in getting Calipari the job.
So Jerry threw the money around.
That's what he likes to do. Jones.
Subjects.
Jones hasn't spent a lot of money on the free agents for the Cowboys, but is spending money for Arkansas, the new head coach.
We've got to pay the fiddler for having those rosters. We get to suck on that all week.
Did he say we have to pay the kibbler?
Fiddler. Oh. I think he said.
We've got to pay the fiddler for having those rosters.
I think he says fiddler.
See, I think.
I thought he said the kibbler.
I think, much like you accused Rick of doing, he screwed up a turn of phrase. I think the phrase is pay the piper, and he said the fiddler.
Well, I don't.
We've got to pay the fiddler for having those rosters.
I think he says piddler.
I hear fiddler.
I thought he said kibbler.
I think that's a P.
I hear fiddler.
How do you hear three different things?
We've got to pay the fiddler for having those rosters.
That's an F.
I think it's a kibbler.
I don't think, RJ.
I despise Jerry as much as anyone, and I'm not going
to
cover for him.
Me despising him. I think he's saying the kiddler.
He's saying fiddler.
Let me hear it again.
We've got to pay the fiddler for having those rosters.
I hear fiddler.
He's definitely saying
you
fiddler.
You guys both hear fiddler, huh?
I don't.
Doesn't sound like an F at the beginning of that.
No.
We've got to pay the fiddler for having those rosters.
That is not an F.
It's definitely not kibbler.
No, it's not Kidler.
I think
what I've established is it's Idler. I don't know what the first letter is, but it is Iddler. But
we've got to pay the fiddler for having those rosters.
How are you not hearing it?
It's the Kidler.
I definitely don't think it's the Kidler. I'm stuck.
You have to pay the Kidler
or a P. I think it's fiddler or piddler.
We've got to pay the fiddler for having those rosters.
We're spending too much time on this.
All right, and that's it. That's around the league. That was nice.
I swear it's piddler, is what he said. I'm standing by it.
I heard kidler. John Winthrop, our boss, said he heard fiddler.
Wow. It's like that. What was the thing where, like, what color dress do you see?
That's right.
I'm hearing a P there.
I always saw the gold.
I don't even remember what color I saw.
It was gold or blue.
I think I might have saw the blue.
Of course you did, because I saw the gold. You had to one-up me, huh?
No, I don't think it's one up, and it's just what you see.
I don't think so either.
You just heard Kidler. I heard Piddler, and everyone else heard Fiddler.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.